SBS Radio.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. Welcome to SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Wednesday, the 28th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, the inflation figures, why the Reserve Bank will do more than just cut official interest rates on Tuesday. But first, to the Australian share market, which didn't do very much today, waiting for the US federal election, the S&P ASX 200 down, or up rather, by 0.11%. So the market rising 0.11%, 6,057 points on the 200. The banks like ANZ declined. ANZ, which will report tomorrow, off by 1.7%. BHP also lost ground, down by 0.5%. Travel stocks also fell today. The likes of CSL also, it rose today, up by 0.8%. Supermarket giants had a really good day. Woolworths up 1.9% and Coles up 2.7%. We'll tell you why in a few moments. And Afterpay, a big gainer today, up by 7.3%. It actually hit a record. The best performer on the 200 was Blackmores, the vitamin maker, up by 13.7% on a broker upgrade. For more on that and the rest of the day's market news, I spoke earlier with Elio D'Amato from Daylight Financial Group. Elio, the market seems to be treading water today, although a little bit stronger in the afternoon. Is it just waiting for the US election?
Yeah, it is mainly factors offshore that's creating a little bit of nervousness for investors as their uncertainty around who does win the US election and, of course, the rising cases of COVID, not only in the US but in Europe as well, really start to play a little bit on the psyche, particularly with regards to the pace of any global economic activity and its recovery, which is going to be essential for us to pull ourselves out of this quagmire. Notwithstanding that we're open for business again in Victoria, it's going to take a little bit more than that to meet the insatiable growth needs of investors.
We saw a few updates from companies that have actually benefited from COVID-19 today, so the likes of Afterpay and Coles. Can we talk Afterpay and the tech sector first? What's your take on it?
Well, obviously, a large part of the boost in the tech sector, particularly on account of COVID, has already been experienced. I mean, the rapid price rises we saw a few months ago that have led us to where we are today really were the news story, as it were, for markets, particularly as everything else was shut down. What we're seeing at the moment is a validation of a lot of those views. We saw Afterpay today with its very strong growth figures. I mean, 9% growth over the quarter on top of its previous quarterly record that it had achieved only goes to validate the company's presence and what it's achieving, not only here in Australia, but overseas as well. I mean, it's interesting to note with Afterpay, actually, and with many IT businesses, you know, many fundamental analysts, as it were, are finding it very difficult to rationalize the valuations we're seeing with those stocks, comparing them to where they are today. And if you look at today's metrics, yes, you're right. Even Afterpay's stellar result today, it takes a very creative accountant to sort of build a case that this is a cheap stock. What I think you're probably seeing, though, is that people are looking far ahead of that. And we're not just talking 1 year or 2 years, we're looking 10 years. I mean, they just got their 11 millionth client. Now, 11 million versus billions of consumers, I mean, it pales into insignificance. So the potential upside is huge. If they continue to meet their expectations, continue to grow as they have been, we'll be looking at this stock in 10 years and saying, wow, how cheap was it back at $100? But of course, there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge until then, and anything can happen. But yeah, it's another validation point for not only Afterpay, not only the buy now, pay later space, but tech stocks in general. The future is now.
What about Coles? We saw bumper quarterly sales, up nearly 10% for its supermarkets. Is that sustainable? And what do you think it means for consumer prices? Because I think we're starting to see less discounting from supermarkets.
It's actually very interesting. You know, the old boring consumer staples is getting in on the exciting act. I mean, this was a stellar result achieved by Coles. Further to that is, even if you exclude the Victoria from the numbers. And of course, let's face it, we had nothing to do other than go to supermarkets over the last few months. What we actually saw was 7% same store growth. Now, even so far this December quarter, we're seeing figures of around, you know, the 5.4%. So there's absolutely nothing to suggest per se that anything Coles is doing is wrong. In fact, they're absolutely nailing it, particularly changing to consumer behaviours. Now, the question comes, can they continue to achieve this run rate of growth? And obviously, the first hits you make or the largest steps you take are always the first ones. And as you start to grow exponentially, it becomes much difficult to continue to hit that run rate. In our view, there's enough different changes in functional shifts in regards to the way the business operates, the way it's been able to cut margins, the way it's been able to adapt to changing consumer behaviors and tastes. And yes, you're right, there has been an easing on the discounting cycle. Why? Because there's just been a natural demand for their services. I mean, you look at inflation at the moment. We saw those numbers today, quite anemic, really not much to suggest that there's any price inflation. So basically all they need to do is keep pricing levels at a similar level to where they were before. And if they're able to improve margins, then it goes straight to bottom line. And we're expecting to see that to come through from Coles. So this was a very strong result. Very good to see the company actually make hay while the sun's shining. Yes, the run rate of growth might ease a little bit, but I think to suggest that we're back to 1% or 2% growth will be a little bit premature. I think the steps they've taken will ensure they can continue to grow quite strongly moving forward.
Elio D'Amato there from Daylight Financial Group. Now, he did mention those inflation numbers, and what we saw was the biggest rise in quarterly inflation in around 20 years, but it comes off the back of a big fall in inflation the previous 3 months. So for the September quarter, inflation, the headline rate rose by 1.6%. That's because of the end of free childcare. For the year, inflation rose 0.7%, and that is way below the RBA's target of between 2 and 3%. So what will the Reserve Bank do? For more on that and plenty more, I spoke with Stephen Helmerich, the chief economist at the Commonwealth Bank. Stephen, before we start on inflation, what do you make of the Reserve Bank's Guy Debelle's comments yesterday that we're likely to be out of a recession?
Well, I thought his comments were actually very unremarkable. So what he actually said was that expecting growth in the third quarter of 2020. So we had a massive 7% decline in the second quarter. So to expect some growth in the third quarter, that's in line with our forecasts. But also we have to remember that the definition that some people use of recession of two quarters in a row of negative growth is not actually a widely used definition around the world. And it's certainly not the definition we use. And it's not the definition actually the head of the Australian Bureau of Statistics uses. So it's a little bit of a moot point, but we are expecting positive growth in the third quarter.
Even so, the recovery is going to be quite patchy. There's still going to be a tough time ahead, right?
Yeah, so the recovery is clearly underway, but it is going to be patchy and is going to be uneven for different parts of the economy. But we are recovering from that really deep downturn in the second quarter.
On inflation today, it's still below the RBA's target band of 2 to 3%. What does the report say about where we are in the economy?
So in the headline sense, it jumped 1.6%, taking the annual inflation rate from minus 0.3 to plus 0.7. So a recovery from that very weak number in the June quarter. But aside from that, if we look at the measures of underlying inflation, the annual rate of underlying inflation was steady at 1.2%. So as you say, that's a long way from the Reserve Bank's target range, which is 2 to 3% average over the cycle. And they're looking for it to at least get back to the middle of that target range. So that inflation number just is another good indicator of the significant amount of spare capacity still in the economy and not much inflation pressure.
Of the components, were there any surprises in the report today?
Well, the biggest move was childcare, but that wasn't a surprise. So it was down significantly in the June quarter, then rebounded a bit in the September quarter. But worth noting that childcare costs are still about 26% lower than they were at the start of the year. Fuel was up again, and that wasn't a big surprise. Some of the areas that were interesting was, you know, furniture prices increasing, household equipment increasing. We've seen strong demand for furniture and household equipment. And then on the other side, things like declines in food prices, takeaway food, holiday and travel, not surprisingly. So most of the components of the CPI were pretty much in line with our forecast, but lots of things moving in different directions.
And how will this play into the Reserve Bank's board meeting on Tuesday? What are you expecting and why?
Well, with inflation, 1.2%, you know, well below the target range, we are expecting the Reserve Bank to use that as one of the reasons why they'll ease monetary policy quite significantly next Tuesday. So we're expecting a multi-pronged approach. So there's three main interest rates now: that the cash rate target, the three-year government bond yield target, and the term funding facility target, where the Reserve Bank lends to the banking system. So all those rates are currently 0.25%, and we expect all those rates to be cut to 0.1%. In addition, they'll cut what's called the exchange settlement interest rate, which is currently 0.1%. We think they'll cut that down to 0.05%. And perhaps most importantly, we think they'll announce a specific bond purchase program. We think of $100 billion worth of bonds, both Commonwealth and state government bonds, to really ensure that borrowing costs for not only the Commonwealth and state governments, but across the whole economy, remain very low for longer term. So they're going to particularly focus on the 5 to 10 year part of the curve.
Stephen Howe Marrick there, the chief economist at the Commonwealth Bank, that is on the money for this Wednesday, the 28th of October, 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.